For our homily meditation, I suggest we reflect on conversion and peace of heart. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves why Christ came into the world and why there is a Christianity at all. The reason is because of sin. It is not remarkable, therefore, that in Christ's first appearance to the disciples, after his resurrection on Easter Sunday night, he should have instituted the sacrament of penance with its infallible assurance of the forgiveness of sin, provided always the penitent is sincerely sorry and honestly wants to take the means to avoid sin. All through the Gospels, from the Incarnation to the Crucifixion, the existence of sin, repentance for sin, expiation of sin, conversion from sin, and God's mercy to the repentant sinner stand out as the master theme of the New Testament. Christianity either has to do with sin or there is no Christianity. And any other estimate of Christ is a dream. Consequently, the scene in the upper room at Jerusalem, when the risen Christ appeared to the apostles and gave them the power to remit sin, is perfectly in keeping with all that preceded in the life of Jesus, whose very name, as the angel told Joseph, means that he is to save his people from their sins. To speak of sin and sinners and sinfulness has never been popular, and our day is no exception. Well, that is, we must occasionally, as in retreat time, take stock of our moral behavior and ask ourselves the simple question: how do I stand before God? Am I sincerely concerned about the state of my soul and doing all I can with God's grace to remove from my soul the only thing that stands between heaven and earth? And that is sin. We are, obviously and pathetically, on earth. We all hope, confidently, that we shall reach heaven. We will, on one condition. That we become more and more sinless. Nothing sinful enters heaven. I am speaking to people who presumably are serious about their soul's condition in the sight of God, and who want to serve Him more faithfully than as of now they, or shall I say we, have been doing. Hence the value of a meditation on the subject of conversion and peace of heart. Let me reflect with you on these three aspects of our subject. What is conversion? What is peace of heart? And how are conversion and peace of heart related? What is conversion? Conversion means the turning away from sinful creatures and turning one's heart to God. There are, of course, conversions and conversions. When Mary of Magdala turned from prostitution to a life of repentant love of God, that was conversion. When Peter, after he had betrayed his master during the Passion, came to his senses and wept bitterly over what he had done, that was conversion. When Thomas, who had doubted Christ bodily resurrection from the dead, fell on his knees before Jesus and professed his faith by saying, "My Lord and my God," that was conversion. But when on Pentecost Sunday, the several thousand Jews who had, we suppose, been living fairly good Jewish lives, in fact, they were in Jerusalem precisely for the Passover, when they repented and were baptized, that too was conversion. And when all through the Acts of the Apostles, which are called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, other thousands of more or less otherwise normal people who were not notorious sinners accepted Christ and became His fervent followers, that, with emphasis, was conversion. This broad spectrum of meanings of conversion needs to be better appreciated than I'm afraid most people do. In the 6th century, Saint Benedict, the founder of European monasticism, laid the grounds of religious life in the Western world. Benedict literally identified religious life with conversion of life, so that with perfect accuracy we might define religious life as the state of constant conversion of life. You don't become converted once and for all. You keep, let's learn the word, you keep converting Benedict knew, because he knew the mind of Christ, that the pursuit of Christian perfection is the ongoing effort that a person makes to keep turning his heart from creatures and turning them ever more and more completely toward God. In fact, any other estimate of Christian perfection is romanticism, if not illusion, and the pursuit of a mirage. That's why, and let's hear it, when Saint Benedict, and he defined this distinction for all times, for all who wish to be holy, when he said that Christian perfection consists in living the active life and the contemplative life, he made living the active life first and mainly consist in what he called the spiritual combat. No wonder tens of thousands of religious have ceased to be religious. They foolishly dreamt the active life consists in working for others, and the contemplative occasionally saying a prayer. Well, no. The active life means taking active stock of my inveterate tendency to embrace creatures, even to the neglect of God. Saints are, by and large, converted, or as I prefer, resolutely converting sinners. We all have evil tendencies, born of original sin, that must be daily and more than once daily overcome and controlled. And this constant victory over self to do the will of God is, in prosaic terms, to live a life of growing perfection, to be growing in the life of God. So much for what is conversion. What is peace of heart? Peace of heart is no mystery, as anyone who has the experience can testify. Peace of heart is the serenity of soul possessed by a person who is in control of the sinful tendencies of his fallen human nature. We are all, no exception, naturally prone to pride or the unruly desire for our own excellence and to vanity, which is a form of pride, consisting in the inordinate desire to manifest what we are. We are naturally prone to lust or the disorderly desire to enjoy sexual gratification. we are naturally prone to anger, which is the uncontrolled desire for revenge. Somebody hurts me, says or does something that I don't like. And instinctively, there's a surge in me, and if I don't watch myself in a moment, outside of me. We are naturally prone to avarice, which is the foolish desire to possess material things beyond what we need. Like the man that a priest friend of mine told me about, a millionaire dying in a hospital room. As a priest walked in, every flat surface in that room was covered with stacks of greenbacks. Over $1 million in cash. And the man, we hope in delirium, kept repeating, "What a beautiful sight." Avarice can take the form of greed, as in the inordinate love of money, which is obviously wrong. Or, as St. John of the Cross observed, avarice may be the unnecessary accumulation of religious objects, like, pardon the phrase, the collection of holy pictures. Worldly people are tempted to worldly greed. Pious people are tempted to pious greed. We are all naturally prone to envy, which is the curious sadness we feel when we see someone have what we lack, or someone be what we obviously are not. She has a sharp, perceptive intellect. I know I don't have one since my first grade. There is nothing under heaven that will give me what I lack. Yet stupidly, I'm sad, otherwise known as envious, when I see someone possess what, well, I don't have. We are all naturally prone to sloth, better, laziness, which is the natural but sinful desire to ease when we should work. Or from another viewpoint, laziness is the boredom we tend to feel in the performance of what we know are the duties of the spiritual life. I like St. Thomas's definition of sloth. Boredom in the spiritual life. Or Father Faber, more poetically called, weariness in well-doing. we are all naturally prone to gluttony in food or drink, which is the lack of balance between what our body needs and what our appetite craves. So we return to the meaning of peace of heart. A person is at peace when his will, assisted by divine grace, has more or less mastered these sinful tendencies. Notice I say more or less, because there are degrees to one's peace of heart, depending on the extent to which these urges of our nature are controlled. Perfect mastery means perfect peace. Partial mastery means partial peace. And the lack of mastery results in a lack of peace. So where's the mystery? I will add one more statement. The loss of mastery means the loss of peace. That is why when we sin, we lose, to the extent of our sin, something of our previous possession, the most precious gift of God to man on earth, peace of heart. And we are the masters under God of whether we shall or shall not have peace of heart. This is one possession which depends on us. And if we don't have it, we cannot blame anyone else. We finally ask, how are conversion and peace of heart related? They are related as sign is related to the thing signified. In other words, God has given all of us a sign, easily perceivable, of how we can tell whether and to what extent we are really doing His will, or more simply, how converted we are from creatures, watch the preposition, and to our Creator. That is why Christ, on Easter Sunday night, told His disciples, and through them is telling us, be at peace. I want your heart to be at peace. Peace, he says. Be still. What does Jesus mean? He means, do what I command you and you will be at peace. Listen to the inspirations of my Spirit in your souls, and you will be at peace. Turn away, if need be, put away, or push away, or throw away whatever you know displeases me, and you will be at peace. use my sacrament of reconciliation often, which is my sacrament of power over sin, and you will be at peace. Can we doubt that God wants us to be at peace? What did the angels announce to the shepherds on the first Christmas day? Peace on earth among men of goodwill. That's it. There is peace among men and within man, but on one condition, that our wills are good, which means that our hearts are turned to do God's will at no matter what price to self-will. There is no such thing, and let no one deceive you, as a cheap peace. True peace of heart is expensive. It costs nothing else than the sacrifice of what we prefer to what God prefers. And the acceptance of what God sends us, even when He sends us the cross. Let me close with a prayer to the Holy Spirit for discernment of the will of God as a promise of the gift of His peace. Holy Spirit of counsel and understanding, enlighten my mind on what you want me to do to make the decision which you foresee will be most conducive to your glory and my salvation. Do not permit my feelings or preferences, human respect or unreasoning fear to influence my judgment, but let me decide according to your will. Let me do what I will wish to have done at the moment of my death. Amen. A good retreat is made when a good decision is made to do God's will. And the evidence of a good decision is the peace that floods the heart once we resign ourselves. What an easy verb, how hard to put into practice. Once we abandon ourselves to the will of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.